You sip, you slurp, you swirl, and you spit.
That's Paul Roth of Fayetteville explaining the finer points of cupping. It may sound a lot like wine tasting, but what's being evaluated is fine coffee. He has become one of a handful of international coffee judges who have the final say on which beans are the best of the best.
I'm a judge for the Cup of Excellence. I've judged three times in different countries, Costa Rica, Guatemala, and Bolivia. And hopefully I get to go to Africa. We're breaking into the African continent, and Rwanda is the country that's involved with the Cup of Excellence program.
So how does a man from Arkansas become a cupper? It started with a trip to Bolivia, where Roth fell in love with the sweet, complex flavors of the coffee. One growing cooperative in particular served up the best cup of Java he'd ever tasted. He brought back as many bags of it as he could carry. His wife, Sherry, on the other hand, did what many women do on vacation. She shopped for clothes. Months later, she wore those clothes on a business trip to a health food trade fair in California, and those clothes drew the attention of one of the exhibitors.
The clothes she was wearing were from Bolivia, and he was from Bolivia selling chocolate-covered coffee beans. Well, it just so happens the coffee beans were from the same cooperative of farmers that I was brought back the bags from. So one thing led to another. We traded cards. I started bringing in his chocolate-covered coffee beans and some of his roasted coffee.
Roth established a working relationship with the man and started importing green beans from the Caranavi Growing Cooperative in Bolivia. He found a local roaster, and soon the gold-colored bags of his Caranavi Oro coffee were bestsellers in Northwest Arkansas. Then, through coffee trade publications, he became aware of the Cup of Excellence program to train tasters for international competitions. After an evaluation, he got the nod to judge his first cupping. When he saw who the other tasters were, he knew he'd entered the big leagues.
You know, I'd cupped coffee before, but I was with these luminaries of the business, you know, people that, you know, Green Mountain coffee roasters traded on the New York Stock Exchange, and you know, the guys out in Seattle, and you know, people from all over the country, you know, that really are, I respect immensely. And I'm there and just saying, why am I here? I hope I don't make a fool out of myself.
Despite his case of nerves, Roth did well in that first contest. But he says the pressure to judge fairly never lets up. Each coffee in these competitions has already been named tops in its own nation, so a lot is riding on his opinion, and he has to be able to act decisively on his judgment. In Guatemala, for instance, he called a halt to the proceedings. Something had tainted the cup.
Ooh, this is way, way bad bean. So at that point, we had to, you know, the leader of the table has to raise their hand and get the head judge to come over, and the head judge starts taking, you know, tastes it, and we all of us put our heads together, and so we pulled that sample.
Roth says the brewing of coffee for competitions is strictly controlled, so the flavor is extracted from each sample in precisely the same way. But a single bad bean can spoil the flavor. For that reason, each producer brings backup beans. This time, a second brewing produced the taste that the grower had intended to showcase. To confidently make these hard calls, Roth uses more than just his taste buds. He says a lot of what we call flavor comes from the sense of smell.
You sniff it a lot. You're continually sniffing it the whole time, you know, from the very hottest point until it's just too cold not to drink. Because a lot of times different aromas, you know, can be produced at different temperatures.
How Roth and his fellow judges evaluate each coffee is crucial for the producers. First place in a Cup of Excellence competition can be like winning the lottery. The judge's decision kicks off an instant international online bidding war in which prices soar to $20 a pound or more.
One little coffee auction, if they produced a beautiful little microclimate coffee that just has phenomenal flavor characteristics and aromas, and everything is perfect about it, and they reap the benefits of that high dollar, it's like 10 years, 15 years worth of salary just being loaded onto them right then.
The grower can benefit so greatly because coffee is international big business of the highest order. The only commodity traded more frequently in the world is oil. You may think the cost of a gourmet cup at your local bistro is a bit high, but you're supporting the estimated 43 people involved in its production.
On the average, there's like 40 to 43 people that touch the bean from the time it goes from the tree to the cup, through the picking stage, the washing stage, the fermentation stage, the depulping stage, then in the drying stage, then it goes through sizing, through screening.
Once a year, Roth does his most important cupping event, the one in which he chooses his own coffee. The taste of his Caranavi Oro must be the same from batch to batch and from year to year. He knows just the flavor he's looking for.
It's creamy, buttery, has there's a sweetness to it. It's real clean tasting. It's very well balanced, I'd say. A lot of floral notes, and it's a little bit of nuttiness in there, too.
Roth's Global Bean Company now imports coffee from many Central and South American producers, but it's his Bolivian Caranavi Oro that remains the favorite in the supermarket and at fine restaurants like James at the Mill, the 36 Club, Ella's at Carnal Hall, and Java Jack's in Rogers. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zan Jarvis.